Coronavirus relief is still bogged down, so why are markets so optimistic? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The economic recovery in this pandemic has slowed down. So let's just recap where we are at right now in terms of what the government is doing about it. Right now, nothing new. It's been months since a relief package has been passed. Last week, the president called off negotiations, and then his administration continued to negotiate. Neither Democrats nor Republicans have been too interested in his proposals. And yet, markets are doing fine. The NASDAQ was up 4.6% last week. The S&P up 3.8%. What is going on? Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Chaotic is one way to describe the relief negotiations. Why would it appear that markets are responding positively?
Well, there's been a lot of back and forth and some confusion for investors who aren't deeply well-versed in political policymaking, trying to figure out whether there will or won't be a deal. But there's also another scenario that people are starting to talk about, and that is the potential, the rising possibility of a Democratic sweep.
So this is about looking out further than the election.
A divided Congress is the scenario where you would get the least fiscal support, most likely. And then if you have a unified Congress, then you could actually get, you know, some pretty significant programs passed, which could bring a faster recovery. Right now, this is mostly about the speed of the recovery. Are we going to recover fast, or is there going to be more defaults and delinquencies and damage to the economy from the COVID recession?
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So let's do the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 122 points. That is 0.4%. The S&P 500 is up 0.7%. And the NASDAQ is up 1.2% this morning. Speaking of numbers, history was made last quarter in South Carolina. Jamie Harrison, the Democratic challenging Republican incumbent Senator Lindsey Graham, raised $57 million from July through September. That is the highest quarterly fundraising total for any Senate candidate in U.S. history. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst is here with us to talk about it. Jasmine, is this record-breaking amount of money a product of campaigns gradually getting more expensive, or is it that this campaign was just that contentious?
Well, campaigns are getting more expensive, but also there are very hotly contested issues at play here. You'll probably hear them at the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Amy Coney Barrett that begin today, with Senator Graham overseeing. Liberal voters are worried about the possibility of a more conservative Supreme Court, one which many fear could overturn Roe v. Wade and block policies they want for years to come. This has led to an explosion of Democratic donations.
Donations, but not all coming from South Carolina.
That's right. A lot of that money is coming from out-of-state voters. So there are questions about, does this even reflect the sentiments of South Carolina voters? This is a state that voted for President Trump in 2016 by more than 14 points. It has not elected any Democrats statewide since 2006.
So does all this money signal a possible win for Democrats, or not really?
The jury's still out on that one. Political strategists are increasingly taking on the view that focusing on swing voters is too much of a gamble. Let's not forget, the previous record was set in 2018 by Texas Democrat Beto O'Rourke. It was impressive then and unsuccessful. So the Harrison campaign, while record-breaking, does not necessarily translate into a victory.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you.
The 2020 Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences has been awarded to Paul R. Milgram and Robert B. Wilson for improvements to auction theory and inventions of new auction formats. Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Okay, so auction theory. I mean, I think I know what an auction is, but what is auction theory and how did they improve it?
So what Wilson's contribution was that he showed how rational bidders, if you think about, you know, companies and CFOs and the CEOs, I mean, they're rational bidders, but they tended to place bids that were below their own estimate of common value. And the reason was this fear about the winner's curse, that they were going to overpay. And then Professor Milgram, he's behind a much more general theory of auctions that allowed for calculating common values and private values that vary from bidder to bidder. And what they were able to do is design auctions that allowed for multiple bids over a period of time.
So how has that played out in the real world? What have been the practical implications?
Well, there's an article by Paul Milgram, and it's in the Hill from 2017, and he says that collectively, the greatest auction in history, they delivered more than $60 billion for the federal government since the early 1990s. And these auctions of radio frequencies to telecom operators and other auctions, you know, really have been critical to creating this robust wireless communications network that we enjoy today.
Chris Farrell, Senior Economics Contributor here at Marketplace, thank you as always.
Thanks a lot.
Lourdes, France is a popular pilgrimage site for Catholics the world over. It is struggling during the pandemic. It was completely closed for 2 months, and now, even with France out of lockdown, pilgrims are returning in tiny numbers compared with the 6 million a year who usually come. John Lawrenson reports from Lourdes.
The bells ring out, a trumpet sounds, thousands of pilgrims hold up candles and sing. The night procession for the Feast of the Assumption is impressive, even with the numbers limited to 5,000. It's usually 20. Fabienne Rollet has come here from Normandy with her husband and three children she had after several miscarriages and many prayers to Mary.
There aren't the crowds there were the other years. And usually, we walk behind the statue of the Virgin as she's carried around. But this year, we have to stand in roped-off areas. And around town, a lot of the hotels are closed.
Pilgrims have been coming here for over a century, seeking healing, to bathe in what many believe to be holy spring water, or now, with COVID-19, just to splash it on their faces. Lourdes Rector Olivier Ribadeau-Dumas says almost all group pilgrimages have been cancelled, leaving a big financial gap.
The absence of organized pilgrimages has left us with a large deficit. It will probably be about $9.5 million by the end of the summer.
Claudine Aubert shows me her best-selling rosary beads. She heads the union of 130 stores selling what the French call objects of piety.
In July, sales were down 80%. In August, too. I was born in Lourdes, but I have never seen anything like it.
Back at the sanctuary, morale is high for this group of students who walked 4 days to get here, singing along the way. But Lourdes has received a real economic shock. As pilgrim Fabienne Rollet put it, there's a lot to pray for. In Lourdes, France, this is John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.